Welcome to Water of the Word, the radio ministry of Pastor Steve Hadley of Harvest Family Fellowship in Reno. Join us today as Pastor Steve continues through a verse-by-verse study of the wonderful Old Testament book of 1 Kings. Old Testament pictures illustrate and model New Testament truths. Today, as we learn more about the foundational history of God's people and the nation of Israel, we'll also see that the people, the problems, and God's supernatural interventions are not so different from our lives today. With so many challenges coming against God's church and God's people, we need the right spiritual tools and biblical insights to stand firm and overcome. Pastor Steve's study in 1 Kings will show us some very practical tools that may be used powerfully in these last days. So come on along. May we all be refreshed and inspired as we are washed by the water of the Word.
Now to verse 9. Now, of course, the devil always leaves God's movement alone, doesn't he? Then Zerah, the Ethiopian, came out against them with an army of 1,000,000 men. Did I read that right? That's 1,000,000 men. Do you know that planet Earth didn't have its first 1,000,000,000 people until the middle of the 1800s? Did you know that? So I don't know what the reverse math on that is. How many humans are on the planet right now? I don't know. 1,000,000 men was unprecedented. I don't think anybody had seen that amount of humans growling and snarling at them. What would that be like? Would that be close to 1,000,000,000 people poised on the border of Mexico to us? Would it be? Then there you are at, what's our southernmost city there in California? Anybody know? Mexicali? Nobody knows. All the Northern Nevada people. Sorry about that. San Diego. Well, I'm not going to need cities further south than that. Seriously? You got San Diego and then bang? So what if you're the mayor of San Diego? And what if you saw a seventh of the world's population standing there going, ah! And you don't have 1,000,000 people. You barely have, as we'll see here in a minute, about 30,000. How many of you know that that is impossible odds? Ooh, Asa is so dead. Watch what he does. I'm going to read that one more time. Verse 9. Zerah, the Ethiopian, came out against them with an army of 1,000,000 dudes and 300 chariots. And he came to Marishah. So Asa went out against him. Wow. At least he showed up. And they set the troops in battle array in the valley of Zephathah. Now watch this. And because he had removed the focal points, because he'd removed the idol stuff, because he had been actively moving towards God, as it were, word worship, prayer, and fellowship, and because he was trying to do what God's word says, Asa knew that he could call upon the Lord with great faith in this time of adversity, because he had grown close to God's heart in his time of prosperity. And Asa cried out to the Lord and said, this is one of the shortest prayers in the Bible. What does 1,000,000 man army prayer look like? Asa's got one verse. Lord, it is nothing for you to help, whether with many or with those who have no power. I notice that I have this underlined several times in my Bible. Have you ever felt in some situation, not only was it overwhelming odds at you, but when you looked into your own reserve system and rifled through the cupboards at what resources you could bring to bear, and it occurred to you, I've got no power. You guys, if you're not familiar with 2 Chronicles 14, verse 11, you really should be. One more time. Lord, it is nothing for you to help, whether with many or with those who have no power. Man, help us, O Lord our God, for we fret, worry. What is it? We rest on you, and in your name we go against this incalculable multitude. O Lord, you are our God. Do not let man prevail against you. I got to be straight honest with you here. I have lifted this prayer right out of this Bible and prayed this out loud a time or two in my life. Verse 12, so the Lord struck the Ethiopians before Asa and Judah, and the Ethiopians fled. And Asa and the people who were with him pursued them. Let's get them, boys, to Gerar. So the Ethiopians were, say it with me, overthrown. And they could, say it with me, not recover. For they were broken before the Lord and his army, and they carried away very much spoil. Highlight that, underline it, and put a little marker there, and feel free to grab that and hold on to the hem of the garment of that prayer a time or two. Back to 1 Kings now. Isn't that a great story, you guys? 1 Kings 15, now verse 16. Now there was war between Asa and Baasha, the king of Israel, all their days. Wait a minute, I thought that he had these 10 years of rest. If you do the math, 16 years later, after this wonderful time of him calling upon the name of the Lord, I'll show you what happens. 16 years later, there was war between Asa and Baasha, the king of Israel, all their days. And Baasha, the king of Israel, came up against Judah and built Ramah, that he might let none go out or come in to Asa, king of Judah. So he's building a siege city. Verse 18. He took all the silver and the gold that was left in the treasuries of the house of the Lord and the treasuries of the king's house, and he delivered them into the hand of his servants. And King Asa sent them to Ben-Hadad, the son of Tibrimon, the son of Hezion, the king of who? Syria. Dude, Asa, 16 years ago, against a million-man army, he does the right thing. God, we got no power. Time for you to show up. Now, 16 years later, something's going on. And now when the northern tribes region under Baasha comes knocking on the door, he's all, har, har, har. He gets into the tithe box, and he takes all that was given to the Lord, and now he's going to bribe the king of Syria, thinking that a political answer is what is going to meet his need. Let there be a treaty between you and me, as there was between my father and your father. See, I have sent you a present of silver and gold. Come and break your treaty with Baasha, the king of Israel, so that he will withdraw from me. 16 years ago, it was, God, you've got to save us. Now Asa is seeking help from man. How do you think this is going to go? So Ben-Hadad heeded King Asa and sent the captains of his armies against the cities of Israel. So he did. He joins in on Asa's behalf. He attacked Ijon and Dan and Abel, Beth Maccaah, and all of Chinneroth. Now it happened when Baasha heard it that he stopped building Ramah and remained in Tisra. So he says, okay, I'm overwhelmed and not met, so I'm going to stop my campaign against the southern region. Verse 22, then King Asa made a proclamation throughout all of Judah. None was exempted. And they took away the stones and timber of Ramah, which Baasha had used for the building. And with them, King Asa built Geba of Benjamin and Mizpah. Verse 23, the rest of all the acts of Asa, all his might and all that he did, and the cities which he built, are they not written in the book of the Chronicles of the kings of Judah? They sure are. But in the time of his old age, he was diseased in his feet. Interesting detail. So Asa rested with his fathers and was buried with his fathers in the city of David, his father. Then Jehoshaphat, his son, reigned in his place. Jehoshaphat's a great king. You want to hear more about that, the feet story? Go back to 2 Chronicles. Now join me in verse 16. I'll show you more of the detail of what's going on here. Chapter 16, 2 Chronicles, join me in verse 7. And at that time, Hanani, the seer, came to Asa, the king of Judah. This is after he had employed the help of the Syrian king. Yay, says the staff of Asa, the king. Well done. Good political maneuverings. You have allied with a powerful military helper, and they have repulsed the northern 10 tribes king of Bashan. Well done, slapping him on the back, and he's probably in line for the Nobel Peace Prize. Verse 7, and at that time Hanani, the seer, he's a prophet, came to Asa, the king of Judah, and said to him, because you have relied on the king of Syria, and have not relied on the Lord your God. Remember how you did that, Asa, 16 years ago? Therefore the army of the king of Syria has escaped from your hand. Were the Ethiopians and the Lubim not a huge army with very many chariots and horsemen? What's the word of God saying to him? Don't you remember 16 years ago and the million man army? Remember that? Yet because you relied on the Lord, he delivered them into your hands. Look at verse 9, you guys. The eyes of the Lord, Asa. Hey, harvest. The eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the whole earth. Why? He wants to find somebody so that he can show himself strong on behalf of those whose heart is loyal. You guys, that's a huge principle. The eyes of the Lord are searching the whole earth. Why? He's looking for somebody that he can show himself strong through on the behalf of those whose heart is loyal to him. And in this you, Asa, have done foolishly. Therefore, from now on, you shall have what? Wars. Now remember when he had 10 years of peace? Because he was in obedience. 16 years later, it's all changed now. Verse 10. And Asa was angry with the seer. Hey, you guys, don't kill the messenger, right? He was angry at God. Now, I'm sure there's nobody in this room that's ever been angry with God. Is being angry with God a wise and prudent stance? God is never wrong, and yet we sometimes take an assessment of whatever we can conceptualize, perceive, and see, and then based on very little information, we pass a judgment. You know, Lord, it's the wisdom of this grand individual that you really blew it. You don't know what you're doing. Is that a good thing? No. Well, here's Asa. He was angry with the seer, and he put him in prison. This seer is a prophet. So he put away the prophet. Another way you could say that is, he put the word of God away. Have you ever been so frustrated with your circumstance and situation? And you've prayed. Week has come and gone. Month has come and gone. In some cases, years have come and gone. And there's a great temptation to say, that's it, Lord. I'm done. I'm putting the word of God away. Watch what happens. So he put him in prison. And he was enraged at him because of this. And Asa oppressed some of the people at the time. Verse 11. Note the acts of Asa, first and last, are indeed written in the book of the kings, which we were just reading. The kings of Judah and Israel. And in the 39th year of his reign, Asa became diseased in his feet. And his malady, this illness, was very severe. Yet in his disease, he did not seek the Lord, but the physicians. Now, by the way, physicians are very often an agency of the Lord to heal. But do you see what happened? He got mad at God's word. And God's word was simply saying, Asa, don't you remember 16 years ago? Remember the million guys? How'd that work out? Well, pretty good. And why are you now reaching for the political connections and being yoked together with a Syrian king? For whatever reason, Asa went, I don't like what you're saying to me, word of God. I'm going to put you away. Notice how it affects Asa's walk. This is amazing to me. He had a malady with his feet, everybody. Can you put your Jesus glasses on? Can you see? Oh my, what a model. You know, God understands that overwhelming odds are difficult for his sons and daughters. He knows that. Now remember, the principle is he will never set you in a situation that really is above what he wants to do through you. He promises he will never do that. And there are times when you're facing what you're facing, and it sure seems like it's completely unmanageable. And Asa did it right the first part of his life. Lord, whether a little or a lot, you can move. Especially when I have no power. Well done, Asa. Not only are you personally going to be protected, but all of the people around are going to see that those who put their trust in God, they make it. They get through. What the enemy had no doubt intended for great destruction and evil, if allowed his timing and his place, God turns all that potential destruction into glory. And what is it, the old spiritual that says, you can't have a testimony unless you have a test. God understands when you close the Bible and you say, I'm putting the word of God away, putting it in prison. I'm done. Do you notice where the malady really got him? In his feet. A model, I think, of your Christian walk. You put God's word away for whatever reason, it's going to affect your walk. Back to 1 Kings, and we're almost done with this chapter. Well, I thought he had 10 years of peace. He did, because he served God, and he knew the heart of the Lord in his prosperity and used that time and peace to prepare for the next battle. And sure enough, here came the next battle, and it was a million guys. No problem, says Asa. God, this is nothing for you, especially for us who have no power. What a great testimony in the land of Israel. And it served to ignite an entire revival of the whole people. 16 years later, it's a whole different story. Don't know why. But then when God says, what are you doing, Asa? Fine, God. You're going to crowd me on my decisions? Fine. I'm just going to close the word. I'm going to put the word of God in prison. As if that'll stop it. Verse 25, and we're almost done. Now Nadab the son of Jeroboam became king over Israel in the second year of Asa king of Judah. And he reigned over Israel for 2 years. He did evil in the sight of the Lord and walked in the way of his father Jeroboam and in his sin by which he had made Israel sin. Remember in chapter 14 we saw his son was ill, etc. And God says, I'm going to see to it that your family is not going to make it. I'm going to wipe them out. Verse 27. Then Baasha, who we've been reading about, the son of Ahijah, of the house of Issachar conspired against him, and Baasha killed him, Jeroboam's son, etc., King Nadab, at Gibbethon, which belonged to the Philistines, while Nadab and all of Israel laid siege to Gibbethon. Baasha killed him in the third year of Asa, king of Judah, and reigned in his place. And it was so when he became king that he killed all of the house of Jeroboam, just like the prophet had prophesied. He did not leave to Jeroboam anyone that breathed until he had destroyed him according to the word of the Lord, which he had spoken by his servant, the prophet Ahijah, the Shilonite. Verse 30, because of the sins of Jeroboam, which he had sinned, and by which he had made Israel sin, because of his provocation. That's a word that basically means he was poking at God. Oof. With which he had provoked the Lord God of Israel to anger. Now the rest of the acts of Nadab and all that he did, are they not written in the book of the Chronicles of the kings of Israel? Yes. And there was war between Asa and Baasha, the king of Israel, all their days. Why? Because Asa had called on the wrong resource. Verse 33. In the third year of Asa, king of Judah, Baasha, the son of Ahijah, became king over all of Israel in Tisra. And he reigned 24 years. Now, he probably is taking notes, right? Let's see. Jeroboam goes down because he's wicked evil. And then my own dad, Baasha, he went down because he was evil as well. So he's probably going to do different, right? Verse 34. And he did evil in the sight of the Lord and walked in the way of Jeroboam and in his sin by which he had made Israel sin. Fascinating. Baasha will follow the idolatrous footsteps of Nadab. And he too, as well as many of those who follow him, will be destroyed. Why doesn't the rebellious guy see that? That's the way it is with rebels. Remember, sin is deceiving. We are convinced that God's warning about sin does not apply to me. I'll get away with it. Father, thank you again that, like we said earlier, experience is the best teacher. It doesn't have to be our experience. The two kingdoms, north and south, so expertly contrasted. The northern guys, don't worship down there in Jerusalem. Don't worship the real God. Worship these golden calves. Didn't work for Jeroboam. Didn't work for Nadab. Didn't work for anybody else of the one after the other rebellious kings of Israel. Until finally the Assyrians come into town and wipe out the remaining population. Sin kills and sin destroys. And whenever we, Lord, want to rebel from your word, from your authority, from your leading and leadership, we are in the same boat as one goofy king of Israel after the other. Why don't they just look and see what happened to their predecessors and take some notes? That's how rebellious leaders are. By nature, the rebel and those that follow the rebel, there will be destruction. Oh, I pray, Lord, help us to look to you, Lord, our good shepherd. Help us, Lord, like Asa did in the beginning of his time with you. Let us, Lord, see the focal points of idolatry in our life. Is it time to get rid of some stuff? Lord, is it time for me to be more proactive in my word, worship, prayer, and fellowship? And certainly, Lord, give me the courage, insight, and wisdom, and resources to do what you've called me to do. Lord, I want to be close to you. I want to be close to your heart, Lord. And may we at Harvest be people who are squishy, humble, clutching the hem of your garment. In Jesus' precious name. Everybody said, amen.
You've been listening to the book of 1 Kings with Pastor Steve Hadley of Harvest Family Fellowship in Reno. We hope these Old Testament truths have been helpful models of just how powerfully God works right now in the life and ministry of every believer. If you missed any of today's message or would like to hear it in its full, unedited format, you can watch this or any of Pastor Steve's teachings at our website. Just visit us at harvestreno.org. That's www.harvestreno.org. Come join us Sundays at 10:30 and Wednesday evenings at 6:30. Harvest is located at 350 South Rock Boulevard in Reno. Until next time, Pastor Steve encourages all of us to follow Acts 2:42 and Word, Worship, Prayer, and Fellowship every day. May the Lord bless you and keep you as we are washed by the water of the Word.